רבי שמואל שפירא, זכר צדיק לברכה.
רבי שמואל was a yaki regarding times. Times.
Very precise.
Very precise. Once on Purim, Rabbi Shmuel was drunk, Rabbi Shmuel Chachik was drunk. So Rabbi Shmuel Chachik told Rabbi Shmuel Shapira in a joke, he told him, Rabbi Shmuel, you became a Litvak. Even for the Nates, I see that you look at the clock to start on time. I remember the days you used to dive in 6 hours. You didn't know the time. You didn't know anything. You used to be beyond time. Now you're in time. You want to hear a story? Oh my gosh, I don't know if it's real. You ready? Shmuel, his thing was not to hurt any Jew, to protect every Jew's dignity, his personal dignity, not to hurt anyone's feeling. So once, Shmuel was going to the Chatzot at the Kotel, someone drove him. He went, a few guys went. When they went out, one of the guys, shut the door, and he didn't realize that whose leg was there.
He closed
the door on the leg of Rabbi Shmuel. The pain, and it closed, it clicked. I mean, his leg was stuck. He was a very skinny man. Yeah? He came very weak. And Rubinstein, the driver, he didn't understand, he didn't close the door, someone else did. He didn't realize what happened yet. He just saw Rabbi Shmuel biting his lips. I'm not saying a word. After a few minutes, the leg started swelling. First, the blood is clogged up.
That could be very dangerous.
Very dangerous. But Shmuel thought they heard another Jew was even worse. Nothing. Didn't say a word. Yeah, I think so. Anyway, until the driver realized and opened his leg.
Yeah, my leg had to be part of it outside.
Yeah.
Part of it inside. It was closed.
Somehow it closed in. I don't know exactly. Maybe he didn't close it completely. Maybe he didn't close it on it. Just like slammed it on it really, really, really hard. And his leg blew up and everything. Not a word. Another time, another story happened. When they built it, at first in the shul, the Meshavim, first they had the bottom floor. And a few years later, it took till they built the big shul where they're down in today. So when they were building the second floor, all the books were a mess and piles and stuff on tables there. The shul was sitting in his corner learning. And Menachem Rosenfeld, it happened the story, so he says it. He said, so the books are right above him. I was a young boy, and I needed a book from the top, so I climbed up. And to get the book, and all the hundreds of books fell on Rabbi Shmuel. You died from that. The old man, the weak man. Okay? But Rabbi Shmuel, nothing. Sitting at this, smiling. He's okay. He's not going to say, I'm sure it was painful. Not going to say a word. He said, oi, oi, no. You could have heard another Jew if I even say something. He didn't say a word. The only sound that was around there was the guy who by accident threw all the books at him. We got worried. Oh, yo, what happened? Come up here. Rabbi Shmuel, not a word. Not a sigh. Another time it happened. By Erev Pesach, his grandson, Shimon Tzvi Shapira, said, my grandpa, he was old already, and he asked grandson, please cut my nails before Pesach. He couldn't do it by himself. But there was hardly anything to cut. And by accident, one other time, he closed it on his skin, on his Rabbi Shmuel, nothing, not a sign, nothing. Another story. David Shechter, the father of the Meir Shechter, he made a kiddush for his son, it was a chassan. Yeah. So David came, he came without a shtreimel. And Rabbi Shmuel, he came alive, what? And he said, why is he not wearing a shtreimel? He was wondering, Rabbi Shmuel realized this. So he asked, why didn't he wear his shtreimel? Someone told him, he lost his shtreimel a week before the wedding. He didn't have enough money for the wedding. Also, the wedding, also, his shtreimel was expensive. So he had to go to shul without his shtreimel, and he felt very embarrassed. He came to the shul on Shabbos without his shtreimel. Very embarrassing. Shmuel really took his child and put it on the head of the... No one else realized. Only he realized. That Shabbos, people in Katamon, that's where he lived in. So Shmuel walking around with a regular hat, weekday hat on Shabbos. He told him, I'm not this thing. No one's going to look at me, who am I? But he's getting Aliyah. It's embarrassing. Without his child, everyone is with his child, without his child. He put on his head his child. Once, one of the main things of Shmuel was the Shmuel Sinai, everyone knows. Big Shmuel Sinai, guarding the eye. On the way to the field in Katamon, Shmuel used to go through a, I don't know how you say Chusha. Chusha is like, not really a forest, it's a lot of trees in the
Open space?
What?
Open space?
No, it's a forest, but small, very small.
Park?
Like in Sanhedrin. It's a forest, not a forest, it's a Chusha. What? Glen?
Glen.
Yeah, it's like a small forest. Very small. Maybe 200 trees, 300 trees, not more than 500 trees.
Park.
Yeah, like a park. Like, it was about in New York, the Central Park, a lot of trees.
Yeah.
That's a small, it's a cool shot. That's a cool shot. Could be thousands of trees, but it's small.
State park.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, so I used to go through that, through that park or whatever, to the field. He used to go at night, and the hours that he chose to go there, like in the night, could be a bit dangerous. So near that forest there was a hospital, and the time that the nurses in the hospital used to change the what's it called, change the
shift
was midnight when Rav Shmuel went to the field. So they're always afraid to go alone, but when they saw Rav Shmuel crossing, they crossed right after him. And Shmuel is not seeing, he's not realizing. So someone once told him, once they warned of Shmuel, you know, there's a group of women walking behind you, you know, maybe you should be careful, go somewhere else. So when Shmuel heard that, that's what, so he asked him why he's doing this, why are they doing this? He asked this person, no, because they're afraid to go alone. So when Shmuel heard that, every day he went in that path, exactly. So every day, night of day was to follow him. Even though he was so holy and so Shmuel Sinai, but when it was to help another this group of women to cross the forest, so he went dafka there where they're going to walk behind him.
He walked behind
them? No. You think Shmuel walked behind
them? They walked behind
him. But he went specifically to that place, through that place, near the hospital, so they could follow him every night, exactly at midnight.
Wasn't there somebody else?
At midnight. I don't know. I'll tell you a story that happened. Shmuel, even though he was completely holy, completely guarding the eyes, doesn't want to see. But when it comes to helping another Jew, so he went with the women. They were behind him, or I don't know, 50 meters behind him, but they walked with him. So they felt secure. He knew they're there. He guarded his eyes, and that's all.
He was a security guard.
No, he was the ultimate protection.
Shmuel. He just had obligations of the Torah. Whatever the Torah says, that's what he does. The mitzvah to help these young girls, that's what he's going to do. Shmuel is very against voting in the Knesset. Very. Why? I don't know exactly. That's not Rav Arush doesn't vote in the Knesset. That's the Bechad, people don't really vote. And a bunch of old people of Brester, from Poland, they wrote a letter to vote for the Haredi party in the Knesset. Yeah. So people went to Shmuel, they knew what he holds. They wanted him to say again, too. Shmuel understood right away that if he said a word, it's going to cause a whole fire in Brestev. He knew his power. Right? So he was quiet. They forced him. But they signed, and they, for sure they know what they did. They signed, look, Shmuel. So Shmuel said, if they sign, they probably know what they did. Probably know what they're doing. He didn't say yes, didn't say no. Didn't interfere at all.
Who
signed? Levi Yitzchak in the beginning used to vote also. Levi Yitzchak. Shmuel convinced him very much until he sat there. Shmuel on the side, he spoke to people, he told him, don't vote, don't go to the Knesset, we have nothing to do with them, we're separated from the Knesset. Separated from the state completely, that's what he helped. But when they came into the cause of machlokes, not a word.
Did they take money from you?
Yeah, all that, yeah. So we're going to stop here because next story is long.